Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Jennifer. Great to be with you as always.
Now, Ed, you look the same to me as you looked the past times we've talked,
but devilishly handsome. Thank you.
But we're going to be talking about transforming oneself, but we're not talking about extreme makeovers and new hairdos.
Well, we are talking about extreme makeovers because when you think about education, that is the true extreme makeover. And that's what's interesting. And now we think of it as, you know, kind of a reality TV. But, you know, in the book that Mike Starbird and I wrote, The Five Elements of Effective Thinking, the last element is the quintessential one, which is itself change. That the point of education is to change lives, not to turn someone into a different person, but to inspire them to become their best selves. And any educator who does not have front and center this notion of transformational change for his or her students, I'm sure are wonderful people, but they should get into a different line of work because that's what they have to remember. It's the transformation.
There may not be a word in our vocabulary that inspires more, in one word, excitement, fear, trepidation, uncertainty, joy. I mean, change is a loaded word and a loaded concept.
Whether it's organizational change or individual change, we are comfortable. I mean, we all are. I am. We are comfortable with where things are. And the thought, the abstraction of a different self, a different world, a different organization, a different way of doing things is very threatening and very scary, but that is to be embraced rather than to run away from.
Now, why is this? You said this is the quintessential element. So they're fine. Why is this one kind of the key one?
So the other ones that we've talked about from time to time, so understanding, you know, deep understanding, mm-hmm. the idea of failing in order to be creative, the notion of the act of creating questions and the flow of ideas, mm-hmm. those things help you change. They help you become a more thoughtful person, a more creative person, a more innovative person.
So how does an effective educator bring their students through that transformational activity of change? How do they do that?
Well, there are global things you can do, which I think are the most important. But from a very practical, a concrete thing, let me just give an idea that I've given to many educators when I do workshops with leaders of education around the world, which is, you know, we give out assignments to students at all levels. Why not every once in a while give that exact same assignment back again a period of time later, a week, a month, 2 months, whatever is appropriate, the exact same assignment, and let them revisit it and see how far they have moved from how they viewed that subject matter before and how they view that subject matter today. And quite frankly, I would ask some additional questions. How do you see the material now than when you first saw it? Most students will say, wow, it was so difficult back then. Now, given where I am now, it seems so easy. I can't believe that I was so silly and naive then. And then I would ask the question, which tethers up with the first element of deep understanding. Revisiting that idea or notion or concept today, how do you see it deeper? How do you see it differently? And that's the point. We don't have the space. One of the episodes we talked about recently was about making space and mm-hmm. having that, you know, kind of empty space to think deeply. We don't have time in our formal education curricula to allow students to go back and go deeper. And so this is almost like a revision, editing. We do this in so many things. When we write, when we create art, we go back and we redo and redo and refine. This is basically refined thinking, is to go back and then realize that we've changed. We have a different mindset. We see it differently. We have different perceptions.
And different is good, because I think some people, that fear of change is that Different is bad, different is scary, but different is good.
Viva la différence.
I mean, I can think of times in school and other times where a situation or an assignment did seem hard, but then after the fact, I was proud, excited, and I learned a lot. I mean, it's a very satisfying approach, I think.
You know, when I teach my advanced math classes, I demand a lot of quality, and I give a lot of homework to do. And the truth is, I tell the students, it's like a marathon, that you might hate this going in, but you will feel so good when you've realized that. Now, it's our responsibility as educators to make sure we have the infrastructure in place for them to succeed. But I pile it on, and when they finish, they do feel good. It's like what you're saying. It's like, wow, I did that. I've mastered this material, or I've journeyed very far deep into a suite of knowledge.
So from your experience, when students go through that, they climb that mountain, they scale the mountain, they've done that work. Can they ever turn back? I mean, once this change happens, is this a permanent then part of most people's thinking once they sort of get this?
Well, it depends what it is. I mean, obviously, once you have an epiphany, it's difficult to erase that and go back to a different perspective. But keeping your history, especially your intellectual history, as part of you allows you to see the intellectual evolution that has transpired. And I think that's very important. And quite frankly, it makes teachers be better teachers because they can say, that's how I saw this material at this stage of my life, and therefore I'm going to discuss it with my students in a particular way rather than how I see it today because I'm seeing it from a different vantage point. It's like, for example, when I talk to instructors, we see the subject as if we're the general in a battlefield. It's a bad analogy. It's a war analogy. But you're on top and you see the entire field. The soldier is right there on the tundra just walking straight ahead, and we're telling them turn left, turn right. They might not even know why. So our vantage point as the instructor, far different than the vantage point of the student. And we have to be conscious of that, which is part of the transformation process.
So I'm thinking about when you're talking about instructors, surely they change too. As their students are changing and learning, that's got to impact teachers also.
You hope. And I think in the best of all possibilities, our teaching does evolve over time. It's always great to, talk about, and I'm guilty of this, your yellowed, notes from that you did back, 30 years earlier to teach calculus or to teach history or to teach, anthropology, and you're still using those notes. Well, I've been guilty of that, but I do have a different perspective, and I will always present it to my current students in a different way.
All right, I'm ready to be presented with. I think everybody's ready to be presented with our next math hanger.
I've got one that is delicious
Okay. Because
it involves mango juice.
Oh, okay.
So, in short, you have a enormous supply of mango juice.
Okay.
Like imagine in a, kind of a tureen with a ladle that you can ladle
okay.
out. You only, however, have two size cups.
Okay.
You have a 6-ounce glass.
Okay.
And you have a 10-ounce glass.
Okay.
So you know that if you fill right up to the brim, 6 ounces.
Okay.
If you fill the other one right up to the brim, the larger one, 10 ounces, right up to the brim. There's no markings on these glass. You don't know where half is or a quarter. This is crystal. Jennifer,
we're not going to mess that up.
You do not mark your grandmother's crystal. So you can't mark it. You can't do anything. And the question is, just basically taking these two crystal glasses, one 6 ounces and one 10 ounces, you're allowed to kind of scoop them into this tureen of mango juice.
Okay.
Can you just, with those two glasses, figure out a way to get exactly 8 ounces of mango juice in one of those glasses? Exactly.
And it has to be exactly.
Exactly. There's no estimating.
Oh,
I must say, for the listening audience here, her hands went up and she had like an aha moment.
I did.
Think maybe you can figure this out?
I have an idea.
Good.
I have an idea.
All right.
So,
well,
I mean, I had a lot of ideas flowing through my head, but the exact 8 ounces.
Exactly 8 ounces. Just
okay.
Using the 6-ounce glass, the 10-ounce glass, nothing else. And that means, by the way, you can't use, so students have always said, this is a question from one of our books.
Uh-huh.
Students have said, well, can I put some of it in my mouth and then spit it back in? You cannot do, I mean, I appreciate
but
the creativity.
You gotta applaud though, yeah.
I
sure.
applaud and I give lots of great credit for that. But for our listeners, you cannot use your mouth as a storage device.
Okay.
It's just those two glasses and they are unmarked and there's no way to know where
okay.
half or a quarter or whatever it is.
Okay.
That's the challenge. And I will reveal that if you are good, Jennifer,
okay.
at some future episode. This is the math hanger for this episode.
Well, that, of course, begs the question, define good.
A good what?
Well, you said, I'll get the answer if I'm good.
Yes.
How do I know if I'm being good?
Well, I will tell you when you're bad. I've never seen you bad because you're just so wonderful. But if you ever turn a corner,
you'll tell me. Okay.
I will immediately let you know.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
So will our audience.
Yes, fair enough.
Thank
that
you.
Is the good thing.
Thank you very much.
So I do want to go back to our discussion about change and learning. And you had mentioned there were some global ways that teachers can help students kind of move through this process. What are some of the things that teachers should keep in mind? You had the battlefield analogy, and that was a great one about helping students kind of see the material. What are some other things that teachers can do to help students with this approach?
Well, I mean, so one thing, of course, is just, as I was saying earlier, to have them revisit material. I think that's one that we don't have room and space in our curriculum to have that, but that's a very important feature. I think the notion of editing and revising and having that be an intellectual thing, we think of that normally as a written thing, that we write something and then we go back and we revise it and revisit it. To have that be a mindset for how we think about everything that we do.
That makes me think of, I can't remember what our topic was, but you were talking about the importance of editing and revising, and you said, you know, everybody wants to see Shakespeare's final works, and you
right.
wanted to see, like, the first draft.
No,
like a
not,
rough
the,
draft,
not the first, but the fifth,
a rough
the,
draft.
The fifth version before the final one. Exactly. The truth is, we are works in progress. If you think about a university campus, like take Southwestern, right now we're doing construction, you know, a new science facility is going up. You think, wow, that's so, you know, unusual. But if you look around, even a small, you know, liberal arts school like Southwestern, there's always some construction going on. I mean, buildings only last about 50 or 60 years, and then you're going to have to replace them. So it's not surprising that when you're driving around that a road is closed off because they're repaving the road, and you're going, how could that be? And the truth is, we are always works in progress. We understand that with physical things like buildings and the life of a building or roads and so forth, we have to realize that we ourselves, our minds, are works in progress. And the whole point of formal education is to try to inspire the fact that we should be always changing and moving. And of course, the point of education, I'm sure I've said this in some previous episode, the whole goal of education is to mess things up, is to take the basic assumptions of who you are and what you think you want to be and try to challenge them and try to provoke the question, is that really what I want to do, or am I doing that because my parents told me I'm supposed to be a lawyer or a doctor, or because I thought that was, or I'm doing it for a different reason? I tell people that if you can come in as a 17 or 18 or 25-year-old first-year student at Southwestern and know exactly what you're going to do 10 years later, and exactly, you know, why and how you're going to think, then you do not need the liberal arts experience that Southwestern offers, or for that matter, any other liberal arts experience. The point of an education, and especially the liberal arts, is to challenge you to see if, in fact, you can change.
So I feel like I should close this show by saying, thanks, Ed, for messing things up.
Exactly. And I take that as a compliment, even though others might find that disruptive.
No, I love that. And we'll continue messing things up in future episodes.
Thank you.
Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. Find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.